God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Less Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Less Visible.
Oh, God only knows where the dog poet is hovering tonight. So many places to hover that he just put it on automatic pilot and punched a whole lot of buttons, and now he's sitting somewhere, but yeah. He's not sure he wants to look out of the window. And I don't know. See, now I got to do this radio show. And it won't be on the air. Kind of like talking to yourself when you think nobody's there. Kind of like hearing voices and only one of them is yours. Looking at the symptoms while you're ambushed by the cause. Because none of this is real. None of this is real. It's just something that we think we own a piece of. Someone thought they wanted it too much to give away. Wow, but give yourself away. Give yourself away. And you'll get back a much better version. Give yourself away. And then some fine day, there'll be nothing left of you to be a problem. Someone will replace you and give itself away. And that'll be the end of the illusion, yeah. Give yourself away. Give yourself away. Put an end to everyone's confusion. Well, you know, I just thought I'd scat something out there because I got a couple of unusual letters recently over the last week, without actually saying it, where, you know, people indicated that maybe I might have been, a little lit while doing these shows. Actually, I haven't been. If I were going to, I'd probably announce it, or it'd be so obvious I wouldn't have to say anything. No, it's more just me being what I am, which already is, somewhere outside the parameters of what we would call the normalized state of being. You know, some years ago, I had a television show in Woodstock, New York. It went on for about 90 minutes, actually 90 minutes, and I put it on right opposite Saturday Night Live. And the reason I did that was because they were so incredibly bad. I thought, good grief. I mean, anybody can do better than that. I mean, depending on, you know, depending on whatever it depends on. But, you know, the show got so popular, it wound up in New York City and then New Mexico and various other places. And next thing I knew, some company called J. Cruz came around, wanted to advertise. And all I did was just had about seven different hats I'd put on, and each of them, and with a pair of sunglasses that went with the character, and each of them was a different character, and each of them would take the circumstances and news of the day and give you their take on it, you know. One of them was a rogue CIA agent who was on the run and hiding somewhere. His name was Johnson. And then there was Billy Joe Festus, who was the serial killer that wound up in my book, The Dark Splendor, along with the Tibetan master Ming. He was there, too, and Mr. Visionary, and I forget the rest of them. But, you know, I just sit down, and, well, each of them had what they had to say, so it wasn't really much of a problem. I didn't really need a script, but after a while, well, you just kind of accommodate yourself to whatever the personality is, and if you're lucky, don't get possessed and, you know, take off all your clothes and go running down the street screaming, you know, in glossolalia, whatever it is that people do when they're possessed by the spirit or something else. God only knows. But anyway, it just so happened that, well, you know, I was playing a lot then, and that was during the period where I was doing a lot of rock and roll, a little bit of Frank Zappa-flavored sort of stuff. And this music critic, Leslie Gerber, for all I know, is working for the New York Times now. He's in Woodstock. Well, he was a critic of classical music, you know, whether or not Mahler had been influenced by reading Tolstoy while, you know, performing certain strange acts upon himself while thinking about other people he couldn't get next to because he was writing all this weird stuff no one was listening to at the time. And, well, however it goes. And that was an unfortunate characteristic of mine where I suddenly decided Leslie Gerber ought to be part of the show because he went to a friend of mine who's, you know, made a lot of critical comments about my music, which I don't know why he ever got around listening to it in the first place. Didn't he do classical stuff? But he went out of his way to tell my friend, so didn't he think it's my friend would tell me? And, well, Leslie became a bit of a celebrity for a bit. And, no, I don't think I'll describe some of the things I said I was doing on air, which I wasn't doing. You could only see me from the waist up. And, no, I don't mean that, but I mean, just in terms of how I was dressed or if dressed at all and the rest of that. And I would always involve Leslie Gerber into it and, you know, go into the things that I knew about Leslie Gerber in the first place and the kind of things that classical music might lead to. Not that I don't like classical music. I mean, I happen to know that no one is buried in Mozart's grave. But you see, this is the kind of thing, my point being that, you know, you always have to watch yourself on the radio or on TV that you don't go beyond the parameters of, you know, because every now and then some button-down individuals are going to listen to what you have to say. And I have nothing against button-down individuals. I think dogma can be a tremendous protection for so long as the world and the last vestiges of the material state is maintaining itself in a state of absolute and colossal disorder that looks like routine to the people who keep obeying. And it's at those points where if you step out of line, you might get the attention of button-down individuals. I don't mean anything in relation to this particular show. I just mean in general because I've run into it in nearly all of my projects. And don't say and you know, just hum, yeah, and something like that, implying that I'm probably in a good mood. See, I've been running around town for 3 or 4 days now, finding it very difficult to stop singing. I have the feeling that there's some kind of a force that's just trying to have a lot more access to me than, well, no, I give it to it all the time, but now it's really wanting to get creative. As long as I don't start, you know, dancing and whirling all over the place, I think I'm still good. But my point being, you do have to keep in mind that not everyone wants to hear things absolutely directly with all the, you know, enamel and protective coloration, clothing, whatever it is, off the actual subject itself. So I try to, like, if possible, go somewhere halfway between all of that. my real reason for actually doing that, because I don't actually care to tell you the truth. I mean, I care, but I don't care if you get what I mean. But my reason for doing that is that, and not too long a time from now, all the button-down people, the buttons are all going to come off and everything they're holding together is going to fall apart. And they're going to be a lot more unhappy about that than the people who take everything off in a moment for whatever reason. And that, I guess, is my point. You see, we speak to people, we communicate to people in filters. We talk to them through our personality. We talk to them through the particular clothing we're wearing, which sets a particular stage for who we're trying to present ourselves with. We present ourselves by veiling our eyes or utilizing our features in such a way as to appear to say something that is avoiding the thing we might actually say, because we spent so much time tolerating these people that we're now in a relationship with them. So I tend to take another view of it, and that is that I always think of myself as absolutely naked, and because, to tell you the truth, I am. All of us are. I believe prophets and avatars have said that. Know you not that you are blind and naked and cannot change the color of a hair on your head or whatever else it all was? But we make the assumption that we can because we have the illusion of it. Some of us have a certain temporal powers where we can make people do things because they work for us. And some of us have entertainment features that cause people to come around and listen to us. And some of us have, religious positions where we get to dress up in strange outfits and wave our hands around as if God's going to show up and go, "Wow, that looks really cool. I think I'll go down there and do some of that too. Oh, look, and they're talking in Latin too. Jeez, not even I would do that." I mean, how long ago was that? Excuse me, I have to refresh my vocal cords. Yeah, well, not Tom Waits. You know, imagining that I were. Uh-oh, my piano just fell down. Would someone help my piano get up over there? Good God. Well, I thought I'd do a little something different this evening without a particular point or anything else in mind, but simply to say, if you're going to be yourself, shouldn't you be yourself? I mean, how do you be yourself? Do you be yourself in such a way that you indicate that you're actually exercising a certain amount of freedom, but you're not completely being yourself? How many of your relationships and the people you know and the situations you walk into are determined by the patina or front or persona that you put in front of yourself in order just to get through the situation? And I hate to tell you this, but it cuts back on your enjoyment and theirs. This doesn't mean you're supposed to put a lampshade on your head and go running around like you were playing pin the tail on the donkey. And even though the lights were on, the room really was as dark as the inside of your head when you miscalculated what freedom meant. So I guess I'm just trying to tell all of you to be a little more free with yourself. That doesn't mean suddenly telling the truth as if you had Tourette's in a certain way. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It just means saying what you mean, you know? You will find if you do this, it's going to take a real burden off your back. If you find that you say, you know what, I don't want to listen to that right now, or even if you want to be charitable and say, oh my God, I've got to be somewhere right now. You know, after a while, they'll call you Mr. Be Somewhere. I mean, the way I got my name less visible was that no one could find me. You know, no one knew where I was. Sometimes even I didn't, but the thing was, like that TV show and so many things I was involved in, as soon as they looked like they were getting successful and some advertiser came around or something else, I just left town. I mean, you know, what happens? You wind up becoming successful at something, and the next thing you know, you got to alter your message. Why not just stay what you are and let your message be what it is? Is your food going to taste better if you can afford more of it? Will you feel better about yourself if you think people think you're more important than you are, or more important than other people, which suddenly makes you more worth listening to? Shouldn't you just really, I don't know. I guess that's a decision of everyone who takes the chance to step outside of the situation that's containing everyone they're interacting with. You know, like keeping your job or staying in a certain community or all the things you think that you need, because if you step out of that comfort zone, who knows what's going to happen, really, huh? Like when you were born, did you know what was going to happen then? You didn't even know there were things that happened. I mean, it took you 2 years to figure out that you were seeing everything upside down before you could get that right and actually stand up. Yeah, that's how it works. Think of cameras. You know, I'm throwing out a lot of ideas, but you know, the thing is, all those ideas are there, but they generally don't occur to the mind that's buttoned down and operating along lines of conformity that are constantly adjusting itself to things that are increasingly more insane. Now, that's okay if you're completely stupid, because you can't expect any more of yourself, and people certainly don't expect any more of you. and they're comfortable in you mirroring them. I think you know what I mean by that. And, oh, my God, I hope that wasn't an insult. But anyway, my point is that once you step outside the thing, you can see all kinds of options. And maybe that'll kind of take you a little further down the road. Next thing you're a little further down the road. Next thing you know, oh, my God, I can't remember what road I started out on. Did I take a turn? Did I go left? Did I go right? But you know what? You will be all right wherever you are as soon as you let go of that fear, because that is the one thing, like gravity, that presses down upon you and makes you aware of the power of time. And you can't really get very close to eternity when time is in complete control of you. And you don't need to be behind bars to be locked up or confined. Did I say anything useful here? I don't know. I'm hopeful. I'm always hopeful. And then there's the other hand where you... well, look, we're just about at the end of another one of these things. One of these radio shows that's not going to be broadcast, but you'll download and you'll go, you know, he's getting more and more whack all the time. Well, the fact of the matter is I'm not whack at all. I'm just cutting myself loose and hoping you do the same. All right, then. I'll see you next week, or you'll hear me if there is one. In the meantime, get free and you'll find the person, power, that created all of this wants that for you more than anything else. You got that? That's the whole point of being alive in the first place. Okay. Aloha. And
you can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.